this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the people at the Apostles Net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. It is so good to have you back, and of course it's great to be back here with you, and in a little bit more relaxed tone today, as we're in the middle of November, and of course Thanksgiving's coming up. We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving today, and not in the usual terms, not about those turkey meals and about getting together over a holiday celebration where we remember the pilgrims, but maybe talking about why Thanksgiving, why is it important to have a Thanksgiving feast. But I want to just thank you first and foremost for all of the responses we've been getting throughout the last few weeks with our, I don't want to say election coverage, but it does sound good, doesn't it? An election coverage. No, we're not doing that kind of stuff, but it has been fun. It has been really an adventure and a challenge in many respects to talk about these terms. You know, Mama told us never to talk about religion and politics. And what did we do? We brought both of them together in mixed company, certainly over this mixed medium of these podcasts and internet podcasts or whatever this next step is all about. You know, it's been kind of like hard to define. We started off as podcasts and now people are putting these on CDs and they're going here and there and we're getting responses from throughout the world. But it is fun because we are talking about something very, very essential, about how to make the Spirit alive in our everyday life. And that's what we tried to do by engaging in politics. I mean, it's not about campaigning for Obama or campaigning for McCain or any other world leader. It's about how our spirits, how that very essential feeling that we have, our connection with God, how that translates into our daily life. If it's just a message that's going to come to us on Sundays, and then Sunday when we leave the church for us to forget about everything, and then we go and lie, steal, cheat, and do everything else, well, what good is that faith? And so many people have really pigeonholed religion into that kind of understanding that we go on Sundays, we get our dose, and then we come to terms with it and go back to life, and life continues. And so when you get someone like a Karl Marx saying it is the opium of the people, well, of course, religion is the opium of the people if you understand it in those terms. It's a quick fix. You get your little bit of opium, you feel good, and then it starts wearing off until the next Sunday, and then you go back and get another fix. But that's not what religion, or especially spirituality. In other words, we as human beings have this extra added dimension to ourselves that we like to believe, that we have a spirit. And that spirit needs feeding, that spirit needs caring, and that spirit does talk. It does talk to us. And in talking to us, we need to be able to articulate it throughout the world. And we do that. We had a chance to do that here in the United States when we elected the officials, when we elected different representatives of the people. It's not just a purely political process. Those election results are reflecting what the people believe, what the people want to believe or want to look forward to, the hopes, the aspirations that they have. So it has been a really couple great weeks putting this together, and I want to thank you for your responses. The other interesting thing was how people were so wound up about the elections. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't the bottom line to all of these politicians the same bottom line that you and I all have? It's looking for peace, peace and harmony in the world. And if as people, if we cared the same amount about our spiritual beings as we do about the political processes, how much easier life would be, how much nicer things would be, and easier to attain those peaceful states that we want. Because when you really think about it, where does peace begin? It's not because of governments, it's not because of institutions. It's because you have made that conscious decision to be at peace, to search for peace, to look for peace, and to be an instrument of peace. I mean, think about it for a moment. How else is peace going to take place? What does it mean to be at peace? When you think about like somebody taking the words of Jesus and putting it into their lives. The other day I was listening to this interview and they were reflecting on the work of Gandhi. And it was very interesting because, you know, Gandhi had taken the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he had basically transferred that to a people and they were able to bring down the entire British Empire. I mean, before Gandhi, do you know the saying about the British Empire? The sun never set on it. In other words, the British Empire was so vast, it encompassed the entire globe. And somewhere in the world, there were subjects of the British crown. No matter where the sun never set on the British Empire. And here was Gandhi taking the words of Jesus Christ, taking this idea of a revolution without guns. And he didn't have to kill anyone. He didn't have to raise any money for weapons. What he did is he took this system of nonviolent resistance, of pacifism, to its extreme. To the extreme of changing an entire system. And if he could do that, imagine how much we can do in our own lives. Whatever difficulties you have, they can't be insurmountable. There was the entire British Empire, and it came crumbling because of Gandhi's work. Now think about what you can do in your own life. The evils that you have, the difficulties that you have, those prisons that you have, to be able to break out of those. It's basically the same thing. It's the same system. A system that actually we should feel very fortunate that we are tapping into. Because when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, we're talking about the most primitive form of Christianity. The most primitive. Not one of the most, but the most primitive. You're talking about the early, early founders of the Armenian Orthodoxy were not just people out there. They were people who actually were with Jesus Christ. Whether it's Thaddeus and Bartholomew, whether it was Thomas, or whether it was Peter. These are the inner circle people who actually ate, who talked, conversed, had a friendship, had a relationship with Jesus Christ, the founder of the faith that we call Christianity. So when we talk about today about Thanksgiving, it's in those terms that we will be talking about it. So let's take a look at what Thanksgiving is all about. Yes, the Thanksgiving meal. And if you can, you reflect about the pilgrims, and you talk about the corn and all these cute stories about how you have to thank God because we have food now, and we remember the time when we were pilgrims and we didn't have food. Oh. And you know what you want to talk about is that incredible moment when you sit at a table with loved ones and you bring over the men who've been watching football and the different football games. But at that moment, on that Thanksgiving Thursday, you sit down at the table and there is no football for just a couple seconds. There is no outside pains. And if you had some problem with your family members, you don't really get into it because what's overwhelming and consuming you is the smell of the turkey and the food and the aromatic, how do you say that, je ne sais quoi quality of the Thanksgiving table. And all around you, you feel the butter and the different spices. And wait a minute, didn't I say we weren't going to be talking? We're not talking about this. This is the other side of Thanksgiving. But I promise you, if you hang out with me for the next few weeks as we get closer to Thanksgiving, I am going to show you how the Thanksgiving meal is actually represented every Sunday in the Holy Liturgy. But not only that, but how it is a holistic expression. I was going to say a holy moly. It is a holy moly, holistic expression of ourselves within this universe. How you can become one with yourself and with all around you and the big you too, with the universe. In other words, you can become one with all of reality. Because that's what holistic means. Before it became popular, we had it. Just like most everything else. You know, a few years ago, somebody, one of our kids wanted to do Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera. They wanted to do that as one of our church events. And somebody among the group said, hey, we know we have to go and get copyright permission if we're going to produce this. But don't forget, nobody asked us for the copyright on the story. I mean, that story of Jesus Christ Superstar started from the church. We have the copyright on that. And in the same way, we have the copyright to the holistic approach to not only medicine, but to life. And trust me, you got to trust me on this one. If you stick with me next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about a lot of the holistic side to spirituality. How Armenian Orthodoxy, in a sense, takes use of all of your senses, your sight, your vision, your hearing, your smell. I mean, think about it. When you come into an Armenian Orthodox church, what's the first thing that knocks you over? It's the incense. Well, it's not just a smell. It's not just to have an aromatic quality to the air, but it is a way of bringing all of your senses to that one little focal point that when you kneel down in church, you become one with yourself and all around you. Thanksgiving is the first step to that. Now, Jesus' message, if you think about it, is a very powerful one. It is incredibly powerful. I said a few minutes ago how it influenced and allowed Gandhi to bring the liberation of a group of people. And it has that liberating quality for each and every one of us. Jesus' message is one of change. But that change isn't something in and of itself. There's a change for a reason. So let me break it down into three places. Jesus' message is one of change, of revolution, and of course, of love. Now think about that for a moment. When I say Jesus' message is a powerful one of change, that's why we always talk about self-evaluation. I mean, think about the messages that we've been talking about, that we always have these periods of meditation and retreat. That's why when you're listening to my sermons, you're listening to these podcasts, what's that one word that I keep using? These are all opportunities that we need to take advantage of as Christians. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Halloween. We use the political process. We use the election process. We use Labor Day, something as secular as Labor Day. Well, each of these are basically opportunities, no different than the opportunities that you would have within a church, like, for instance, going to church and retreating from the world, or going to a retreat, or a period of 40 days when you fast and when you pray. Everything is an opportunity, whether it's the Lenten journey, or whether it's an Advent journey, or it is simply an election process that brings to mind the importance of the values of independence. Each of these are opportunities for us to reflect on ourselves, to have a period of self-evaluation. The Christian is a restless individual. The Christian is not somebody who sticks his feet up in the air and says, okay, that's it. A Christian is called to the duty of being restless. In other words, looking for that change, but not for just a simple matter of let's change, but a focus change. A change for what? Bringing about that equilibrium, bringing about that peace in yourself. And by being peaceful within yourself, you radiate that out to your community and, of course, to the world. So first and foremost, the Christian message is one of change. And to be cognizant of that, we look for opportunities, whether it's in the church calendar, it's in the church prayers, or in life in general. When you go out and you find a metaphor that really clicks with you. You stand in a line someplace and you say, wow, this is an opportunity for me to really think about, why am I being channeled to think like an ant and follow everybody else? And like here in America, they condition you to think like an ant so that you're following people. And so you start thinking about following, you start thinking about your own independence and so on and so on. So each of these opportunities comes up in our daily lives. Christian message is one of change. Christian message is one of revolution. Jesus talked about the revolution that was taking place. Not something that's going to take place in the future, but right now. In fact, that was the problem that the zealots, you know, there were people living right inside of Jerusalem at the time when Jesus had come, and they thought that Jesus was going to bring about the revolution and they were going to be able to liberate the people from the Roman tyranny and really rebel against them. And there was a group called the Zealots, and the Zealots were out there and they were looking at Jesus as this liberator. Jesus said, my liberation is far greater than just liberating the self from a regime or from a political process. My liberation is liberating the self from all of the chains and shackles that prevent you from becoming totally human and prevent you from really finding that divine nature. Think about that in your lives. We just went through in America a process, and I heard from so many other people throughout the world that were letting me know that, you know, the process of election that we went through in America seemed to resonate more in their countries than their own local elections. Well, why? Because people saw a value, or you know, like when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. This whole mythology that America's this big superpower and influencing everyone else. But it also throws a lot of the responsibility elsewhere rather than looking at ourselves. The revolution has to begin with ourselves and this renewal, taking the old and renewing it. Leaving the past behind, what has happened in the past. Not ignoring history and not forgetting it, definitely not forgetting it, but leaving it in the past to be able to forge a future that is bright. And this is very essential. By coming to terms with our past, we are allowed to leave it and then opt for our new life. And this is so essential, whether we do this as individuals or within our community, with our collective histories too. It's very important to come to terms with it. And if you look at psychoanalysis, psychology, all these trends allow us to come to terms with the conditions that we have. And this is no different than what Jesus did throughout his ministry. These are the constants that you have. These are the set of variables, and you need to plug them in, and then you see that life flows on. And you say, oh, sounds like math. Well, yeah, it does. Because math, science, religion, everything is connected. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about holistic. Religion has never been outside of life. It's all connected. And it all produces that same result. And it should produce the result that we're all looking for, the equilibrium, which is peace. So Christ's message is one of change, one of revolution, and finally, the third one that I said, of love. And in love, we're to understand sacrifice. If you've followed these podcasts, if you've followed my sermons, I've always insisted that we don't adopt what the Greeks have told us. That is a foreign idea. It's okay. It certainly makes a lot of sense, and you certainly can put it all together about the 3 or 4 or 5, 10 types of love. You know, you could split love in many ways, but Jesus talked about a singular love. And I challenge you to really think about it for a moment. We won't be getting into it today, but think about it. Agape, erotic love, filial love between the brothers. I mean, think about it, the intensity, the way it's channeled, the way it comes together. It's all basically talking about this unending love that's there at the beginning of creation and continues on through your life cycle here on this earth and continues forever. We'll get to that later, but let's talk about Christ talking about love, of change, of revolution, and his message of love. That is the one of sacrifice. And that sacrifice only can begin when you are willing to forget yourself. So by forgetting your past, or let's say to come to terms with your past and being able to place it somewhere else, you are able to move forward in the same way you are able to give of yourself to others, to be able to sacrifice yourself. That's what it means. A grain of wheat remains a single seed, Jesus says, unless it dies in the earth. And then when it dies, what happens to that seed? It produces its harvest. Well, he goes on to say in that same sentence, just as he's talked about, this is in John chapter 12, verse 24 and following. He says, a grain of wheat remains a single seed unless it falls into the earth and dies. Then it produces its harvest. He goes on to say, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life will keep it for eternal life. What does that mean? We're supposed to be out there flogging ourselves, hating ourselves? No. It's about losing the self. It's about forgetting about what's number one by all the world standards and realizing that the number one is God. And that's where we come to Thanksgiving. That's the beginning point of Thanksgiving. If you want love to work in your life, it has to begin with Thanksgiving. And so I promised you, in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving in a different way. We're not going to be talking about all of the trappings of Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about what Thanksgiving is all about. And right now, I'm going to take a little break right now and play a little song for you. And then we're going to come back and look at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. But right now, we're going to listen to Miriam Matossian. She is going to be performing at our December 18th concert. And she will be performing, of course, with Gor Mkhitaryan. She's the opening act. And later on in this podcast, you'll find out how you can get your tickets for that event. But take a listen to this beautiful, beautiful song by Miriam Matossian. Did I happen to tell you that was beautifully beautiful? It sure was. That was Mariam Matossian, and you could check her out at mariammatossian.com, and certainly December 18th when she will be performing at the In His Shoes event featuring Gor Mkhitaryan. That's going to be at Zipper Hall, and in a few minutes we'll give you some more details on how you can get your tickets for that. And in fact, today we're going to be debuting another one of Gor Mkhitaryan's songs that will be on his new Spirit album, and we'll look forward to that in a few minutes. But for right now, I did promise that we were going to go into a Bible passage, and it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. It is familiarly called the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Luke begins the story like this. He says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." So we got the context in which he's going to give this parable. Parable is a story, a myth with a punch to it at the end. And so Jesus says, "Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." Now the Pharisee, you got to remember who the Pharisee is. The Pharisee is somebody who knows Scripture. Sometimes they get the bad raps, but these are the guys who know the Scripture and know it backwards and forwards. They could quote Bible, and they could quote day and place and just about everything you want to know about those Scriptures. They could tell you who wrote it, when it was written, and all of those fun details. And the other guy, the tax collector, is not the good guy. He's the guy that wasn't well liked. In fact, he's so decrepit and just such an awful person because he collects taxes for the Romans. He is a Jew who is collecting taxes for the enemy. He was basically the bad guy. And Jesus now uses these two figures in this parable, in this story. And he says, "The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" And now Jesus concludes this story by saying, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, it doesn't sound like a Thanksgiving story, does it? But think of the dynamics here. And maybe let's use this as a preface to our Thanksgiving season and our Thanksgiving stories. Because so many times we are like the Pharisee. Our Thanksgiving is based on the things that we have and upon the things that others don't. "Thank God that I am not like that person over there," says the Pharisee. Many times we do the same thing. We look at tragedies and we say, "Thank God that it didn't happen to me." We look at war and we look at children of war and we say, "Thank God that I am living over here. Thank you, God, that I am not like the person over there." We hear of people with these terrible diseases. We say, "Thank God that I don't have those diseases." Instead of taking a positive approach and saying, "Thank God for the beautiful life that I do have. Thank you, God, for the blessings that I do have." The other night, our church has a feed. Once a month, we go out to Skid Row and we feed the homeless. And many of our people came back saying that they were touched in particular by this one woman, 76-year-old Italian woman, who it was her first time out on the street, and she was living homeless, and we fed her, and she was just reluctant to even take the the bit of mercy that we were giving, this small soup sample and a bit of clothing. We act like it's so much, but to these people, it is their lifeline. It is that bit of hope. And our people, they were so touched by this woman. Well, what is that touched? Because we look at her tragedy and her misery, and we realize it can happen to any one of us. That many of us are just a step away of becoming the same. Yesterday was Veterans Day here in the United States. I learned something. You know what the difference is between Veterans and Memorial Day? Veterans Day remembers those veterans who have served and are living, are with us. So we thank the veterans. We thank them for that awesome service that they have rendered to these United States in its protection and the protection of all of us. Memorial Day, by contrast, is to remember those who have passed away, who have died. And I heard one of these talk show commentators talk, and she was saying that, you know, I was one of the fortunate ones because my son came back in one piece, and I'm very thankful for that. Yes, and that Thanksgiving also is that opportunity to compare. Now, I'm not pulling any kind of judgment, but what I am suggesting is that our thanks many times is dependent on others rather than them being just opportunities to thank for the sake of thanks, for the sake of that life that we enjoy. And by thanking, what happens? When we thank, we lose sight of ourselves. That's the importance of Thanksgiving. That's why it's important not to do it in context or in relation to anyone else. That's why I picked this story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. When you thank, don't look around you and say, "Thank God that I'm not like somebody else." Thank God that you are the person that He has created you to be. Thank God for the blessings that you do have that make you so unique. Thank God for the smile on your children's faces. Thank God for the little fingerprints that are on your fingers that make you completely, totally unique. Thank God for the dog that comes up and shares your life with you. Thank God for the blessings of the trees that you get to look at every single day and the warmth of the sun that beats you on the back and you start sweating and you say, "Oh, it's so hot, where's the air conditioning?" Thank God for the ability to turn on some air conditioning. You know, in all the things that we do, it's so easy to compare ourselves to others that we lose sight of what blessings we do have. Things that may seem so irritating right now are truly blessings that God has given us. And when we start thinking in these terms, what happens? We start putting the foundation to how we can love others. Because when you lose yourself, that's when you start looking at other people. That's when you start sacrificing yourself for other people. That's when you start finding that happiness and that peace. So how about if we make that the challenge for this week? To really look at the blessings that God has given us in each and every one of our lives. The blessing to be able to breathe in and breathe out. You know, people in cemeteries can't do that. So the first blessing is that you have life. The blessing that you have the ability to make a grin from ear to ear. And the blessing that you have to look at others and see beauty in people's lives, in the nature around you, in the way the world works. It is so easy to look and compare. Take the higher road and say, "Thank you for what I do have." And thank God for those blessings, because when you do that, what happens is that you have taken yourself one rung down. You know, we tell people to come to church, and you say, "Oh, well, why do I need to go to church?" Or we tell people that you need to donate. You know, you need to give some of yourself. "Well, why do I need to donate? I could do..." Well, you know, you can do a lot of things. But each of these are actions for ourselves. Do you think God needs the money? No, but you need to give the money. Why? Do you think God needs you to come to church? No, but you need to go to church. Why? Because when you do, you are acknowledging that there is something greater than you. And that greater thing is worthy of not only yours, but our collective worship. What is that greater thing? It is God, which the evangelist tells us is love. God is love. Love is greater than you. Love is greater than me. Love is all powerful. It is worthy of us coming to terms with, to kneeling down, to giving, to supporting, to be one with. That love is all consuming. It is all around us. And once we put it in those terms, we understand that Thanksgiving has its purpose. That's what Thanksgiving does. It allows us to stop and say, there is something greater than myself that is at play in this world. And that something greater is worthy of my attention, my focus, and my giving. That's what love is all about. That's what these definitions, and that's what our faith is all about. The blessings that God has given us. I promised you a big blessing right now, and you're going to get it. We're going to hear a song called Blessings by Gor Mkhitaryan. It is one of the new songs that appears on his latest CD, not yet released, but you have this opportunity to hear it first. It is the new CD called The Spirit, and on December 18th, you'll have a chance to hear it in its entirety in concert. So just want to tell you about that because we'll give you some information right after the song. Let's listen to it. Gor Mkhitaryan, Blessings.
Kotun hev parabanutun asenke sterast vats onutsyan lev kohabanutsyan hokitur me sterast vats tuilerin lev karikavornerin oknis Աստված պահպանիր եւ իմաստության հոգի տուր մեզ Տեր Աստված Խաղաղություն բեր մեր հոգիներին Ուրախություն մեր ծնողներին Երջանկություն բեր մեր զավակներին Հանգստություն մեր Երկնքից իջար փրկություն բերի արյամ Թանկագին մարդացար անեղ ձեություն պանմար Եվ անչապելի բարի լուրբեր իրան Հույս կորսված մարդկանց մեղավոր Հարության պեր աշնոր լուս ճառագեց Տեր Աստված Հաղաղություն բեր մեր հոգիներին, ուրախություն մեր ծնողներին, երջանկություն բեր մեր զավակներին, հանգստություն մեր մարմիններին։ Մեծարում ենք քեզ օրհնաբանում մեծազոր Աստված, Պարգևող շնոր գաղպիր բերկրանքի եղի ժողանի Եվ կյանք արար իր մեր հոգիներում ազոր խավար Որ ապրեքով մեջ կոլույս է ության պայլի մեջ Խաղաղություն բեր մեր հոգիներին Ուրախություն մեր ծնողներին, երջանկություն բեր մեր զավակներին, հանգստություն մեր մարմիններին։
Blessings by Gor Mkhitaryan on his new The Spirit album. What did I tell you? Is that just incredible? What did I tell you? When you give up of yourself, it reflects in everything you do. When you hear a bit of music like this, or the Matossian piece we heard a little bit earlier, or any fine musician, they give up themselves to produce something. They produce the harvest. The grain of wheat must fall into the earth and die for it to produce its harvest. December 18th, you're going to get a chance to hear this song as well as the entire collection from The Spirit. It's going to be at Zipper Hall, and you're going to also get to hear in an opening act, Maria Motosyan. So we invite you to come out there. You can get tickets right now online. Go to itsmyseat.com and just put in December 18th. You'll be able to find it. The In His Shoes Gor Mkhitaryan special concert, The Spirit concert. You want to be there. It's a fantastic time of year also, because it's Christmas time. You know, there's so many Christmas parties you can go to. There's so many gifts you can give your friends, and you know, those gifts don't mean anything. You know, you give, I remember in old times, of course today cigarette smoking is not a big deal, but in old times people would give each other lighters and cigarette ashtrays and stuff like that. I mean, think about it. For Christmas, or right now you give a bottle of wine, and you give them the real Christmas spirit, a bottle of whiskey, and you say Merry Christmas. Come on, let's do away with all that. You want to give somebody a Christmas gift? This is it. Send them to The Spirit concert, December 18th. You want to spread some Christmas cheer and Christmas spirit? Give them the Christmas CD called The Spirit, Gor Mkhitaryan. This is something so special to me because we produced it through In His Shoes. Why? Because if you think about it, where's our Armenian spiritual music today? You go to church and you listen to tunes that have been around for 700-800 years, at the very least. And even longer than that, and surely those are the tunes of the angels, and they raise you up. But at some point, you need to also say that we are a living church today. And sure, Gomidas Vartabed came during the last century, and he refined a lot of the songs that we share today in the Badarak. But what about the spirit today? Does it talk as well? Does God talk to it? I believe that it continues. And I want you to believe that too, because it does. It's talking to you in many ways, in the love that you share, in the love that you have in your heart. It certainly talks to me in the love that I feel towards this beautiful, beautiful ministry, in being able to share the message and the love of Jesus Christ with each and every one of you. That's what we're celebrating, and that's what we're talking. So that's why we put together this CD, and I know you're going to be blessed when you hear the rest of these songs as well as these. I'd love to hear from you, and you can hear more of these songs on the next step coming up in the next few weeks, but that about does it for today. I hope you have enjoyed today's podcast. It has been really a blessing for me, not to use the word too much, but it is a blessing, because I'm very thankful for your responses, for you just being there to be the ears to listen to all of the good things that are coming out of In His Shoes. Get on our website, inhisshoes.org, and of course this podcast, as well as all previous podcasts, are archived at epostle.net. The people at Apostle, they have a very easy, simple mission. They're doing apostolic evangelism in electronic world. I want to believe it's an expanding universe, and that certainly comes across too in all the beautiful things that they do. So get on apostle.net if you've gone there. What is that? I saw yesterday there was some dog on there, with the dog with the big ears. Ken, is that yours? Or Susie, is that yours? Oh, Oscar. Ah, a little play on the words there. Okay, anyway, there's a little button with a little dog on there at apostle.net, and you'll get to hear all of our repertoire, all of the next steps. And these people in this little booth over here are having too much fun. Ken's telling me he's on his way to Jakarta next week. Let's see. Those shoes are big shoes to fill up. but I'm sure we'll have some fun with that, at least hearing his reports. So for the people who put this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, this is Father Voskin, inviting you again next week when we will take the next step.